thank you all so much for coming. Before I get any further, I hope everybody gets a load of this absolutely beautiful poster made by Rita Huralt. And I think it is just magnificent. I don't know if there's anyone here who doesn't know me, but my name is Eric Rollins, and I was Tina's partner for 15 years. The greatest 15 years of my life. Before we get going, I want to tell a story about something that kind of wonderful that happened right here about an hour ago, before any of you arrived. I got here early, schlepping stuff in and getting things set up and all that kind of stuff. And I had pretty much done everything, and I was just kind of hanging around here in the fog, waiting for people to start arriving. And I happened to glance up into the meadow behind you, and I saw standing in the middle of the meadow, not 30 feet from me, a great blue heron. I've never seen one, you know, that close, not near water. But there it was. And so I sat down on the table and I eyeballed it for a while, and he eyeballed me for a while, and we eyeballed each other for a good long while. Until finally he took wing and flew off that way. And I couldn't help but think, given Tina's love for birds, that they thought enough of her to send a representative. And then I could take that thought, if I want to really get woo-woo here a bit, but I did have this thought, sitting here by myself, thinking maybe that was Tina, and that she was just coming back to give me a little farewell. Anyway, and I had to shed a few tears over that, but whatever, it was a great blue heron, and it was quite wonderful, and if Tina could have been here, she would have just loved it. Those who have known me a long time know that I can rarely go as long as 5 or 6 sentences without quoting from a movie. And I think my 6 sentences are up, so I want to refer to a movie, an old movie called Inherit the Wind, which was also a play called Inherit the Wind. And in that movie, there is a point where an elderly woman is defending her husband to a kind of shallow young woman who has just said some stupid things. And what she says is this: if he made mistakes, at least he stood for something. What do you stand for? I think that's a great question any of us can ask ourselves pretty much any old time. But it made me think about what Tina stood for, and I think she stood for a lot. I think we all have learned from her. So I wanted to talk for just a minute about what I think she stood for. First and foremost, I think Tina stood for life, embracing of life, life lived wholeheartedly, passionately. Everything was passionate with Tina, or it wasn't worth doing. And we all know that there wasn't a subject in this world that she didn't have a definite opinion on, whether you're talking about presidential politics or conifers. But more than that, she believed in life lived courageously, open to joy, and with unflinching honesty. Tina believed deeply in the struggle. And I am not talking about the Hobbesian tooth and claw, zero-sum game kind of struggle. I'm talking about the struggle that every real grown-up does all their life long. The struggle to become whole, to discern right action from wrong action, truth from myth. Tina believed deeply in that struggle, and she respected the people who engaged in it. And she had contempt for the people who opted out of it and took the easy answers that somebody else handed them. More than that, Tina believed in love, which you all understand because she loved all of you, perhaps more deeply than you realize. Sometimes it was not easy to see it because she wasn't a very sociable person. She was a terrific introvert. One night, we were on our way to a party, and she kind of didn't want to go. And she said to me, "You know what my idea of the perfect party is?" And I said, "No." "Why don't you tell me?" And she said, "I'd like a party where I walk into the room and it's full of people, and I go all the way around the room and I hug everybody and I tell them how much I love them, and then I go home." Okay, I don't want to go any further into Tina's character, because for one thing, there's no end to what I could say about it. But I wanted to tell a story, because I love stories, and that's how you find out, that's how people live in your memory, is through the stories you tell. So I want to tell my favorite Tina story. And maybe later on, for those who stay for the picnic, maybe I can be convinced to tell my second favorite, but this one is my favorite. It's from long ago, before I knew her, before most of the people here knew her, when Tina was a young teacher, probably in her mid-20s. And at that time, old Berkeley residents will remember that there was a Berkeley High West campus. The building is still there on University. And at that time, Tina's father, Milt, was vice principal at that campus. Well, one afternoon, Tina was coming home from school and motoring up University Avenue and passing West Campus when she saw six burly students in the act of picking up her father's car and moving it from the curb out into traffic. Well, Tina screeched into the nearest parking place, poured out of the car, and started berating these students. "How dare you do this? What on earth do you think you're doing? You put that car back right this instant." None of these six students, any one of whom could have picked her up without effort, had the slightest idea who she was, where she came from. All they knew is that they were suddenly being confronted with 120 pounds of concentrated fury. And so they did what burly students have been doing for 30 years. They said, "Yes, ma'am," and they moved the car back to the curb. But Tina wasn't done yet. She was outraged. And so she went into the school to find her dad and inform him of this terrible thing that had happened. And she told him the story. And what do you suppose he did? He laughed. He laughed and he said, "They only did that because they like me." And Tina said, "Well, I don't understand that kind of like. And I'm just glad I teach where the kids are too small to pick up cars." And that is my favorite Tina story. Tina had made one request. Actually, she made two requests about this memorial. One of which was that it not take place for at least 2 months after her death. So here we are. And the reason for that, I think, is clear. She didn't want this to be a weepy kind of thing. She wanted it to be what this poster says.